ఆత్మానం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం సహనావవతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. Let's chant together. జాగ్రత్ స్వప్న సుషుప్తిషు స్ఫుటతరా యా సంవిదుజృంభతే యా బ్రహ్మాది పిపీలికాంతతనుషు ప్రోతా జగత్సాక్షిణి సైవాహం నచ దృశ్యవస్త్వితి దృఢప్రజ్ఞాపి యస్యాస్తి చేత్ చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. బ్రహ్మైవాహమిదం జగచ్చ సకలం చిన్మాత్ర విస్తారితం సర్వం చైతద విద్యయా త్రిగుణయా శేషం మయా కల్పితం. ఇత్థం యస్య దృఢా మతిః సుఖతరే నిత్యే పరే నిర్మలే చాండాలోస్తు సతు ద్విజోస్తు గురురిత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. శశ్వన్నశ్వరమేవ విశ్వమఖిలం నిశ్చిత్య వాచా గురోః నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ నిరంతరం విమృశత నిర్వ్యాజ శాంతాత్మనా. భూతం భావి చ దుష్కృతం ప్రదహత సంవిన్మయే పావకే ప్రారబ్ధాయ సమర్పితం స్వపుః ఇత్యేషా మనీషా మమ. We are looking at Shankara's response to the question as to who should go away. Annamayat annamayam athava chaitanyam eva chaitanyat. Chandala's question is being answered, and actually he gives no answer, but he states the truth, which means when there are no two things, where is the question of one going away from another? It's answered by that statement of fact. So we were looking at the third verse. శశ్వన్ నశ్వరమేవ విశ్వమఖిలం నిశ్చిత్య వాచా గురోః నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ నిరంతరం విమృశత నిర్వ్యాజ శాంతాత్మన. సో యాజ్ ఐ క్లారిఫైడ్ ఇన్ ది సత్సంగ్, దిస్ వాచా గురోః ఈజ్ హ్యాంగింగ్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్. ఇట్ కుడ్ గో విత్ శశ్వన్ నశ్వరమేవ విశ్వమఖిలం నిశ్చిత్య, ఆర్ ఇట్ కెన్ ఆల్సో గో విత్ వాచా గురోహో నిత్యం బ్రహ్మ నిరంతరం విమృశత. సో ది రీజన్ ఐ యాడెడ్ టు దట్ నిశ్చిత్య శశ్వన్నశ్వరమేవ విశ్వమఖిలం నిశ్చిత్య ఇస్ టు షో దట్ విథౌట్ మీన్స్ టు ద శృతి దర్ ఇస్ నో వే యూ కెన్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇన్ ది యూనివర్స్ ఇస్ నశ్వరం. You will have to stop somewhere. Either you will have to say time and space is not Nashwaram, or you will end up saying quantum particles are not Nashwaram. Somewhere you will have to, because insofar as I believe that the world is a Satkarya, it's real. If it's something real, whatever its cause has to be real. There is only a reality chain there. So if you want to get rid of that notion completely, that it is Shashvan Nashvaram Akhilam Vishwam, the entire universe that I objectify is indeed Nashvaram, to see that Nasha, you have to see the Nasha of everything you perceive. Not Nasha physically, but Nasha in your mind, that it has no reality of its own. Our definition of Satyam is what? Trikalepi Tishthati Iti Satyam. So what is there in Trikala? Bhuta and Bhavishyat are both folded into present. And that present also is what? Ultimately, the content of the present, the lengthless present, that content which is the awareness is being talked about. Therefore, time also, what we call time, which looks so real, you know, because why? I have a clock to measure time. A clock doesn't mean anything. See, it in the realm of whatever experience we have, everything will prove each other. A dream subject will prove the existence of a dream object. That doesn't mean that the dream object becomes real with respect to a waking subject. There are orders of reality here. So within a given order of reality, in the Vyavaharika order of reality, time is measured by a clock. No problem. But I am not saying that the clock is unreal, time is real. I am saying both the clock and time have no reality when you look at Paramartha. So that is why, to show the fact that Akhilam Vishwam, entire universe, Vishwam is whatever you objectify, is unreal, Shashwan Nashwaram, I said, we need to bring in Vacha Guruho. Without that you can go up to time, space, you can go up to quantum particles, but you cannot say beyond that it is Nashwaram. Okay? And then we saw that same Vacha Guruho is necessary for the second part, which is Nityam Brahma Nirantaram Vimrishata. So Brahma is Jagat Karanam Brahma, and that Jagat Karanam Brahma, the word Nityam and Nirantaram, we saw, can be taken either as adjectively with the word Brahma, which means that which is present in all periods of time, Nityam, the very content of time, and Nirantaram, with no interleaving, with no nothing intervening, there is nothing else. See, intervening is possible when you have a second thing. So if I want to say this is pure gold, what does that purity imply? That there is no copper or any other metal which is intervening between the gold particles. So in this context, this Brahma, can it have anything else intervening? I'm saying when I say Nirantaram, you can see there is nothing intervening. If you take it adjectively, that will be the meaning we will take. But another way of looking at it is Brahma is sufficient to define what Brahman is. Here it's not defined, but we know what is the definition of Brahma. What is Brahma? It is Jagat Karanam. One main thing. So Swamiji will always say that the basic definition of Brahma in the Shruti is Jagat Karanam. It is not going for that Swarupa Lakshana to start with. Because what does Brahma Sutra says? It starts with Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Then Janmadhyasya Yataha. The Janmadhyasya Yataha means what? Yataha, from which? Janma Adi. Birth, being, and resolution. All of that, you know, come from where? That one thing is called Brahma. So the Karanam of whole Jagat is only given as this. Brahma is defined only as Karanam of Jagat. And that Karanam you have to bring in all three. Nimitta Karana, Upadana Karana, and any other Karana, Sahakari Karanam. Everything is rolled into which is called Brahman. Now that Brahman, if you understand, then what does the word Nityam and Nirantaram do? You take them adverbially, which will go along with Vimrishata. We saw the word Vimarsha means Vichara, and that Vichara can be in terms of Shravanam, to understand what is the Shruti Pramana saying, right? Then about Brahman, because Nityam Brahma Nirantaram Vimrishata, we have to do Vichara only on Brahma. So that is done in keeping with Shruti Vakya, the Shravanam. Then once you understand what is Shruti Vakya saying, if there are doubts which come from outside the Shruti, then that has to be handled by seeing a logical fallacy in whatever is being said. That is Mananam, what we normally call Mananam. And then we have the next one, which is Nididhyasanam. So I understand and I see there is no doubt in my mind, but yet the old thinking is so strong that to deny the reality of time, for example, is not easy. It's too real for us to say it's not. And the only way to loosen that is to constantly do the Abhyasa. What you saw in Gita, what was it you saw? That the person, for Atma Vidaha, he has to do Anushthanam. With respect to what? Nishtham. That Anushthanam there is is to do nididhyasanam. You have to constantly abide in that understanding. When I get the feeling, oh, this is so wonderful, this is going to make me happy, I have to immediately say what? No, happiness is my nature. I am Rati, I am Moda, I am Pramoda. Atmaratihi yastu atmaratireva syat atmatriptascha manavah atmanyeva cha santushtah tasya karyam na vidyate. For me, it looks like there is a karyam. Something if I gain, I am going to become better. Something if I lose, I will be a loser. If this is the way I am looking at it, what does it show? That at that point of my time, my mind has gone away from what I have understood with Shravanam, made stronger using Mananam, and still the old habit comes back. The old habit is too strong. Don't expect it will go away. So people's question several times is, when you see a rope snake, once I saw the snake is a rope, next time I don't have a problem with it. Now I have done so much Shravana Manana and I have understood clearly, then how come I have a problem again? Rope snake you saw only one time, and in one time you cleared the doubt. Whereas here, this aham karta, aham bhokta is there for how long? Entire life, and many lives, infinite lives, we have had this thinking that aham karta, aham bhokta. So it requires to be shaken up. And that shaking is done by repeatedly seeing what I understand clearly. So Swamiji will say sometimes you in your meditation, you just sit and say, I, and see what comes up in your head. I. If I, when you say, what comes up is this image, then you understand what, that is not the I. You have to change it. Okay? I. Repeatedly we have to see what? I am the presence. I am the very conscious being. Till the fact point in time when that I does not invoke any other response. The I simply always sits as the content of space and time as myself. May take a lifetime, may take more than one lifetime. It doesn't matter. Once we have this clarity and we are on the track, it doesn't matter how much time it takes. There is no pressure, no need for any pressure, because it is understood. And Swamiji says, if that is the understanding of a person, he may not be able to enjoy the phala of moksha here and now. The jivan mukti may not be apparent to you, but videha mukti is given. In the sense that you will not come back to suffer one more time. This life. Again, in my perspective, jivan mukti is what really matters. Videha mukti, whether you get it or not, you don't know what happens. But this is how Swamiji put it, that even if you don't understand it, that videha mukti is a given. Because there may be reasons. See, the prarabdha can be very prabala sometimes. And therefore, you may have some unconscious also sitting there. It can come and bother you now and then. So that mukti phala may not be equally apparent to everybody. But at least if I pay attention to it, if I am alert enough to it, then do I still feel I am suffering, I need something to be changed? Or can I see, no, this idea that I am suffering, this idea that something needs to change, is what denies me my freedom. That I want something to change is what denies me my freedom. If I can see that that's a thought, the thought is an order. Psychological order. There's a reason why that thought came. I can't explain it entirely to psychology. Okay, it's in the karmic order. That thought had to come at this point in time. It came. And when it come, I embrace the idea. Means, I don't try to say, this thought is bad, it's causing me trouble. Let it be there. Am I able to make peace with it? I don't have to act on it. I just see a thought and I don't have to act on it. And even if I act, there is nothing wrong. It's just that I accept the thought, I don't resist it. And that if I can do, then there is no issue. So that is mukti really. Because everybody doesn't have the same prarabdha. One may have a easier way, one may have a harder way. But the fact is, if I can see that one reality alone, then moksha is not in question. So this nirvyaja shanti, this vimrishata, I'm saying, nididhyasanam is very, very important. And nididhyasanam need not be you know, consign the place only for 10 minutes in meditation in the morning. It can be done at other times too. You can recognize the person who is just a simple conscious being doing anything at any time of the day. You're eating, you can do it. You're drinking, you can do it. You're walking, you can do it. You're talking, you can do it. In fact, the more we do, the more we will be familiar with this person who is me. This person who is me, we have to be familiar with. We can't afford to be not familiar and then try to understand Shruti's Vakya of Tattvamasi. The Tattvamasi will not be understandable unless I can recognize myself as that free being. So that Vimarsha in this context as Nididhyasanam is not a step to be postponed. We do say that Nididhyasanam can be done when? Only after Shravana and Manana, when things are clear. True. When everything is doubt free. True. But I am saying, to the extent I am doubt free, I can do Nididhyasanam even now. To that extent, at least. I may not be able to say I am Jagat Karanam today. But can I at least say, I am a simple conscious being? Roles are not inherent to me. Can I see that? The Tvampada is where we can focus without too much effort. See, Tatpada is entirely Shruti, it's entirely Shraddha. There is no other way to know Tat. Therefore, you don't probably need a whole lot of Nididhyasanam on that side. But more effort is needed to be able to see the Lakshyartha of Tvam more often than not in a day. It makes a difference. Makes a very significant difference. So that is Vimrashata, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasanam. Then Nirvyaja Shantatmana. How is this Nididhyasanam done? It is done by Atmana. What is Atma here? Not the self, but the Manas, the mind, Antahkarana. Because it has to be done by an Antahkarana. What kind of an Antahkarana? Nirvyaja Shantatmana. Nirvyajena Shantaha Atma Yasya Saha, or Shantaha Atma. Tena, by a mind which is calm, which is resolved. Resolved how? Nirvyajena. We will look at these words slowly. Nirvyaja basically means, Vyaja means an excuse, a pretense, a contrivance. I mean, basically you're doing something, but there is some other reason for it. Okay? An example that comes to mind is, see, when Krishna, as a little boy, used to go and steal butter. So it is said one time his mother caught him in the act. I mean, normally he was very good. He did a clean job. There was no evidence to show he could do anything. So he would say, how can I reach? It is so tall. You know, the butter and the yogurt, etc. are kept too high. I am so little. How can I reach it? Mother said, hey, I saw your pranks just now. And where did this butter sticking here come from? I see that white on your face. You know, he saw there's a problem here. So he said, oh, that all these friends of mine, they're all my enemies. Okay? They ate everything, and just to make me guilty, because I'm already famous as a person who steals, they took and they put it on me. What can I do about it? I am helpless. I have been framed. Okay? So then she said, that is not true. No, that is also not true. I was seeing what you did. Whose shoulder you climbed on, I saw. Then what do you say? Then Krishna took a very different tactic. He said, now, mom, I know it's not about the butter at all. You are not here to punish me about the butter. Then what? Fact is, you are not my real mother. You know, I am not your real son. Balarama is your son. I am not. You are partial. You just found an excuse to punish me, saying you ate butter. This is called Vyaja. Okay? Vyaja means a pretense, an excuse, not the reality. So she wants to get Krishna. That's Krishna's way of getting rid of his mother troubling him, you know. Says, because you want to get me, you just found an excuse in butter on my face. This is not reality. Then what can the mother say? Mother melted and let him go. Okay? Job was done. But the fact is, vyaja, you understand. Vyaja means an excuse. So, vyajam means really, see, V plus Aj. Aj dhatu has a meaning of gati. Has a meaning of gati. So, vyajati yathartha vyavaharat apagachati iti vyajaha. Vyajati yathartha vyavaharat apagachati. Goes away from. Apagachati. Apa means going away. Apagachati. Kasmat yathartha vyavaharat. Yathartha vyavahara means a conduct which is in keeping with realities. Okay? So that is called vyaja. Alright? And the vyaja can also mean asatya vyavahare karanantarena pravrittasya karanantarena udbhavanam. You are engaged in one thing, seemingly, but the reason is completely different. Which means there is a deceit. There is, it may not be a pretense, it may not be very explicit sometimes, but you are doing one for the sake of other. So here the word is what? Nirvyaja. There is no other reason for the shanti. Shanti is your swarupa. Nirvyaja shantatmana. The mind can move around. But if you are not perturbed with the mind, because you accept that the mind is a monkey, it jumps from here to there. That's its job. So as Swamiji says, we are sitting through a japa. And people will say, Swamiji, I am not able to meditate. Why? What are you not able to do in meditation? You say, Om Isha Yanamaha, and my mind goes somewhere else. So what's the problem with that? Therefore I can't meditate. Hey, that is the job. The mind will move away. You say, Om Ishaya Namaha, it will go to some other Ganeshaya Namaha. You know, it will remember bookstore Ganesha. Then it will go to manager Ganesha. Old name was Ganesha. So, wherever can it go? It can go anywhere it wants. But the fact is, that is how the mind is. We accept the mind. What is the job we have to do? When it goes to Ganesha, say, Ganesha I will talk about later, come back to Isha. Gana you drop. Bring back Isha. So keep doing that. That is the strengthening of the mind. That is the purpose of japa. To say that the mind moves is no big deal. This is what Krishna told Arjuna. He said, you know, everything you told very nicely, that samyena, you have to see everything as sama. So that is not easy. Why? He said it is as difficult as holding wind. You know? So what did Krishna say? Said, asamshayam mahabaho manaha durnigraham chalam. Indeed, the mind is very, very hard to hold, to make it stand. Durnigraham, very difficult to grasp. Chalam, moves all the time. Pramathi balavadridham. Pramathi, it agitates. So our samvatsara also, see, this samvatsara is like that. Manmathanama samvatsaraha. I can blame the year also. Manaha matnati, agitates. Okay, mathanam is to agitate here. The one which agitates the mind, that is why manmatha is kama. See, kama, a desire, won't let you relax. It agitates. Because when you have a desire, you cannot be relaxed. So what do you need to make a fellow, you know, uncomfortable with himself? You inject one desire into him. One desire you give him, something which he has a value for. After that, he cannot be relaxed. Because mind will go all over the place. Now, how can one then be nirvyaja shantatmana? That nirvyaja means without any reason. Can bring even reason here. It's a pretext. Without any reason. Swarupena shantaha. Swarupa of the mind is not shanti. Yet here it is Nirvyaja Shanta. Why? Because the person has done what? Shashvanashvara meva vishvamakhilam. See the importance of seeing the nashvaratvam of everything. Because what is it that the mind goes after? What does the mind want to do? Why does it want to go anywhere? Can it go anywhere if it doesn't see a second thing? It has to see a second thing. And that second thing must be valuable to it. Correct? What will carry value? Not something which is going to go away. Sometimes even have this thought. Okay, let it be nashvaram. At least I will get some pleasure for some time. Right? Alright, I understand. I am not going to enjoy all it. Every meal is not going to be great. At least weekly give me something good. Give me some pasta. You know, give me some noodles. I am used to this all my life. Why give me this rice every day? I don't mind this being nashvara. Once a week let me have good food. Why not? Why should shashvara nashvaram be a problem for that? The fact is, even that little ananda that you thought you got out of your noodles or pasta, that ananda also doesn't belong to it. It belongs to you alone. So the argument that, you know, I don't care for nashvaram, everything is in time. Okay? I'm a viveki. So I can see that everything is gained in time and is lost in time. This is called a pragmatist. I'm labeling him, okay? Just for convenience. So the person is very pragmatic. So he sees that I lose some and I gain some. Right? So it is like an accounting entry. You cannot say only debit, 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 debit. Every entry has to be balanced. When you debit one, you have to credit the other side. So if I say I debited something, then I have to at least put an asset payable, something I have to do, receivable, some creation has to be there. So this dual entry or double debit and credit has to be balanced. You can't say debit 100, credit 500. That doesn't work. Your trial balance itself will go wrong. So balance sheet means it has to be balanced, you know. Assets, liabilities have to be equal. So every gain is associated with a loss. Every loss is associated with a gain. Right? I know this. Therefore, I understand it very well and I say, you lose some, you gain some. Perfect. So why should I worry about all this Brahman and everything? This is the way life is. You lose some, you gain some. You are successful sometimes, you don't succeed sometimes. I understand this. This is a fairly good approach. It serves you a long way because it is reasonably objective. But then, is this the reality? If you settle for this, it means you are settling for less than what you can settle for. If you knew that you can be comfortable all the time with yourself, why should you settle for 50%? Because I told you, it's, you know, 50-50. Sometimes you lose, sometimes you gain. So why should you settle for less? And that Shruti tells you very clearly that your nature is ananda. It doesn't say you will get more and more and more ananda. As you improve, your ananda will keep improving. How far will it improve? It can improve up to the ananda gained by Prajapati. Okay? So this is what you see in the Ananda Mimamsa. What we call Ananda Mimamsa. So we say what? First we define a unit of Manushyananda. That unit of Manushyananda itself is hard to understand. Why? What is the definition? He should be, you know, Yuva. Sadhu Yuva. Swamiji will say, young means normally restless. Young and restless go together. But this guy is what? Sadhu Yuva. He is not restless. He is very comfortable. And not only that, he doesn't have an education. No. He is very well educated, very well cultured. He has no money. No, whatever wealth is in the universe that you can see belongs to him alone. Every single piece of wealth. Then, what would be his happiness? That you mark as one unit of human happiness. Then, just by mere position, by punya, a guy is born as a Gandharva. 1,000 Manushyanandas, you know, 100 Manushyanandas are equal to 1 Gandharva's Ananda. Then what? This Gandharva, how much ananda he must have? 100 of Manusha Ananda. Now you take 100 of Gandharva, it will be what? Deva Gandharva. So like this, you keep on going up. Many steps are there. This 100 you can replace it for 1 million. It doesn't make any difference. What is being shown is that there is a relative difference in the experienced ananda. It's not being questioned. Because that is our perception. That is our experience. That when I get an ice cream, I'm a little happy. When I understand some Sanskrit, I'm a little more happy. Okay? Maybe. I don't know which is better, okay? Somebody told me this, so I'm repeating this. Alright? And if I get, you know, if I get moksha, then what? I'll be very happy. No. Moksha is not one more to be compared. It doesn't belong to the scale of comparison. Therefore, in every line of the comparison says, Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya, Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya, akamahatasya yad anandaha. What is akamahataha? Kamahataha, kamenahataha. You are destroyed by your very wishing for something to be different. That's what destroys us. That I wish something would be different for my being happy is where my problem lies. I have concluded that my happiness is centered outside in a situation. That makes me kamahataha. Now who is akamahataha? One who does not have this notion. One whose happiness is not centered on anything outside. It's centered on himself. Therefore, he doesn't need anything to change outside, nothing to be different outside, for him to be totally at ease. What do I mean by totally at ease? Even now, aren't you all at ease? But the question is, if I ask you, can you be happier? Can you be better? What will be the answer? Even when you are very happy in a given situation, if suddenly I come and say, okay, now, you are happy? Yes. Can it be better? Can it be improved upon? What will your answer be? Usually, you will have an answer, yes. How? You may not know the answer. But the inherent understanding is, my happiness can be improved upon. What I have is not good enough. It's good, but it can be better. It's better, it can still be better. Best doesn't get reached. And what is Shastra presenting? It is presenting the best, which is not in the realm of good and better. It is something which cannot be compared, but because it is not comparative. It is the very truth of every ananda. Brahmanande Vishayananda. Vishayanande Brahmananda. Right? Vidyanande Brahmananda. Wherever you see any happiness, that happiness belongs to you alone. That is why Gita can say, Yastu Atmarati Revasyat Atmatriptascha Manavaha Atmanyevacha Santushta. This Priya, Moda, Pramoda are three examples of degrees of happiness. Degrees can be any number. By using three, we have covered what? Bahuvachanam. All degrees are covered by three degrees. Now, the happiness, if three degrees of happiness, means all degrees of happiness are you. That's why Atmaratihi, Atmatushtaha, Atmasantushtaha. So, you are the very meaning of the word comfort. It doesn't come from outside. If this is understood, may not be experienced. There is no experience here, okay? There is nothing to be experienced. Even understanding is not total, but you see glimpses of it. What should it make you now? We also understand that what I am seeking is my nature. If what I am seeking happens to be my very swarupa, why do I struggle? Why should I struggle? Why should I change situations? So, I can let go my effort, which tires me, to try and change situations. If I let go, I can only let go when indeed I am convinced of the lack of any value of any achievement outside. When that happens, then for what reason will your mind move away? For what reason? For what reason will it be resolved? For no reason except that you know the vastu as it is to a good extent. That is nirvyaja. There is no other reason. The reason is you are just yourself and you understand that. That is nirvyaja. Understand means this is a process still. Because he is doing what? Vimrashata nirvyaja shantatmana. To the extent you understand that these things do not make me better, do not improve upon my wholeness, to that extent you are able to let go. To the extent you are able to grant freedom to the world, to that extent you are free. If I am able to grant freedom to 50% of my immediate world, I am free 50%. If you are able to grant 100% freedom to everyone you are in related with, to every situation, then whether you know it or not, you are muktaha. Moksha is nothing but I have no dependence on any situation, on any time, on any place for me to be comfortable, totally comfortable with myself, a comfort which cannot be improved upon. So there is a relative growth to the extent that I am able to let go this. And that relative letting go is will culminate in what? With respect to the world. Shashvan Nashvaram. And as I see it, 100% letting go may not be, will not normally be possible unless there is 100% clarity about jnana. So it will be a process. It will be in time. As and when I gain clarity, I am able to drop my value for certain things. I understand clearly that I don't need this for me to be comfortable. And this makes it nirvyaja. There is no reason, no pretense, no feigning. So I may be saying, okay, I am sitting in meditation. Eyes are closed. Instructions are all being followed. But the mind is going all over and wondering what is the use of sitting and doing this meditation right now. I can't meditate for nuts. It's useless. What I should do is go and listen to some more classes. That will be a better use of my time. One can think. Nothing wrong with that. That's how you think. But I'm saying that means that your sitting is what? Vyaja. It's a deceit. You're just sitting here. Mind is not doing anything. That nirvyajatvam is something to be discovered. You can't force it. You can't make a fruit ripe by wishing it to become ripe. It takes its time. And it happens. When the circumstances are right, the fruit will ripen. And some tikakaras will take this nirvyaja. Shanta is there, right? What is shanta now? We have to look at shanta. What is shanta? Shama uparame. Shama uparame is the dhatu, which means resolution. So what should happen? For no reason, nirvyaja, leave nirvyaja. Shantatmana, by a mind which is quiet. What is a mind which is quiet? Tell me, what's a mind which is quiet? Is it a mind with thoughts or without thoughts? Huh? Without monkeying. Well, if it's just saying Rama, 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 is it quiet? Hey, Rama Rama is happening. Is it quiet? What is Shanta? So, there are people who want to get their own, they have their philosophy and they want to get the right meaning. So, what is Shanta now? Shanta should mean there should be no thoughts. As Swamiji says, if you shake, you know, there should be nothing in it, empty. Which means, if you do that, ting ting. Here, he will do ting ting here. Right? Empty head. It is very important to empty your head. So what should we do? Any thought, stop it. So what is the goal? Chitta vritti nirodhaha. Stop all thoughts. No thought should come. If a thought comes, it's a problem. Thought is the problem. When do you feel sad? When you have thoughts or no thoughts? When you have thoughts, right? Sad thoughts. Okay. So what is the best way to prevent sadness? There should be no thoughts. Right? Stop thoughts. There will be no problem. Na rahega baas, na bajegi baansuri. If you don't have a pipe, there is no music. Right? Music starts when there is a pipe. If you don't have appointments, what? You cannot have disappointments. Very, very convincing, isn't it? Therefore, what should be done? reduce thoughts and finally just hold it. Do pranayama. What will happen then? The only thought, if it is there, is I want to breathe. No sorrow will come. Okay? So, the whole idea I am saying is that it's quite convincing. If you bought the idea, then shantatmana will mean what? A mind should be free from thoughts. Is that shantatma? It may be shantatma. I am not saying it is not shanta. There is only one ashanti. If a thought comes, there is ashanti. And after you came out of your samadhi, what is going to happen? Thought will come. As soon as it comes, samsara vapas a gaya. Everything has come back now. So, now what should be my goal? I will understand now. Nityam Brahma Nirantaram Vimrashata. Nityam Nirantaram. Always without break, I should be in samadhi. That is the only way I can be happy and free. I have discovered it. Because there are no thoughts, nothing bothers me. Therefore, my lifestyle will become what now? My whole goal will be towards being able to sit in samadhi for a long time. You see how it can be interpreted. So here that one of Tikakara talks of it also. He presents it as saying, yeah. So he says, Dridha Bhavanaya Vyakta Purva Paravicharanam Yadadanam Padarthasya Vasana Sa Prakirtan. What should you do? You should get rid of all vasanas. Says Vasana, okay. Purva Abhyasena Chittasya Vasyamanatvat Vasana. Vasana has come from old thinking habits. So what should you do? You should remove all vasanas. That is called Mano Nashaha. Okay? Mano Nashaha means what? Nasha is Adarshanam. What is Manaha? Thoughts, cognitions. What is Mano Nashaha? The Adarshanam of thoughts, which means no thoughts. So, he is presenting this as Shanta means Mano Nashaha. So, Mano Nashaha has to be accomplished by removing all thoughts. Then that is Nirvyaja Shantatmana. But it is not what we are trying to say. We'll look at more of this tomorrow. Okay? Sorry? Tomorrow we have class. Yeah. We'll see about the time, because I'll talk to Swamiji. We may have to change the time a little tomorrow, because we have the weekend students program Sunday. They will be coming. So we'll see if we can do something about it so that we can accommodate them in our class. Okay. Sorry? Tomorrow is Sunday. Today is Saturday. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.